Cars today are built to last, but how they look is up to you, and that's where Maaco comes in. They specialize in cosmetic repairs. Let's say it's affordable paint jobs to fixing those annoying dents and dings. Whatever it is, Maaco has you covered. With more Americans keeping their cars longer, now's the time to protect your investment and keep it looking sharp for years. Get started. Visit your local Maaco today. Get the free estimate and see how easy it is to bring new life to your ride. Uh-oh, better get Maaco.
This podcast is sponsored by IQBar. Your favorite clean, functional, delicious nutrition brand is raising the bar with a little help from Thomas Keller, Michelin star chef of the French Laundry. IQBar and Thomas Keller have teamed up to create a salted caramel chip protein bar and yuzu mango hydration mix. With toasted macadamia nuts, rich caramel flavor, and brain-boosting nutrients, this bar is like having a Michelin star meal in your pocket. Pair it with the taste bud tingling yuzu mango IQ mix hydration mix, packed with magnesium and adaptogens to improve clarity and mood. With Keller's culinary excellence and IQ Bar's commitment to great taste and clean ingredients, this limited edition collaboration is simply mwah. And the best part is that 10% of sales go directly to Chef Keller's nonprofit, Mentor, that supports aspiring young chefs. Great taste, great nutrition, great mission. Go to IQBar.com today and enter promo code KELLER20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products plus free shipping. That's IQBAR.com, promo code KELLER20.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
You're listening to live courtroom coverage of the trial of Karen Reed from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today. Now, back to the courtroom.
Exhibits 150 through 153.
And, Your Honor, there's one more exhibit that we have pursuant to stipulation to offer the evidence of what it is. Next in order.
Exhibit 154.
And, Your Honor, if I could just show Mr. Wolf this to make this more efficient okay. for the last one.
Excuse me. Thank you, Your Honor. Thank you for that opportunity, Your Honor. And if I could, please, I'll leave these here. These are all going to be published with Your Honor's permission, but obviously okay. the witness is going to need them.
So you can put them right on the witness.
Thank you, Your Honor. And Leslie, may I approach for the witness?
Okay.
Thank you.
You may need this as well.
Sure. Thank you.
Good afternoon, Ms. Hartman.
Good afternoon.
Is it acceptable to you for me to refer to you as Ms. Hartman?
Yes, that's fine.
Thank you. You were dispatched to the Sallyport at the Canton Police Department on February 1st, 2022 by former Massachusetts State Trooper Michael Proctor, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
You understood at that time that Michael Proctor was the lead detective, the person who was in control of the investigation?
Yes, that's what I was informed of when I arrived.
While you were there, one of the things that you did initially was to conduct an overview of the vehicle meaning the black Lexus SUV that you talked about extensively on direct, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
That was important to you, given the limited information that you had at the time about what was contended to be a potential motor vehicle pedestrian incident, correct?
That is something that I would do in any type of exam where I'm looking at a vehicle. I look at the overall vehicle.
So you were looking for anything possible that would rise to the level of investigative concern regarding that vehicle, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
And you're familiar with the parlance investigative concern, right?
Yes, that's correct.
And that's why you noted various items, for example, scratches on the vehicle?
Yes.
You didn't draw any conclusions as to where those scratches came from, though, did you?
No, I did not.
The dent that you noted and photographed that you discussed on your direct examination, you likewise made no conclusion as to the source or cause of that dent, correct?
That's correct.
And you did therefore not make any or draw any conclusions as to whether that dent was caused by any motor vehicle or pedestrian accident, correct?
Correct.
You're a forensic scientist too for the Massachusetts State Police Department, as I understand it?
Yes.
With regard to the taillight that you spoke about rather extensively on your direct examination, you likewise were not able to, and you make no conclusions as to the cause of that broken taillight, correct?
That's correct.
And you draw, therefore, no conclusions with regard to whether that taillight became in the condition that was discussed on direct examination pursuant to any alleged motor vehicle pedestrian incident, correct?
Correct.
The dent, the scratches, the broken taillight on the Lexus, to your knowledge, as you sit here today, could have existed before February 1st, 2022, when you went to Sallyport, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
And to your knowledge, dent, the scratches, the broken taillight could have existed before January 29th of 2022, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
You also looked for, as you stated, tissue, blood, you know, biological material, and things of that nature on the vehicle, correct?
Yes, I did.
In that inspection of the vehicle, you didn't see any visible stains or tissue on the vehicle, did you?
No, I did not.
You were told, Ms. Hartnett, that there were wounds on the right arm of Mr. O'Keefe, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
And at the time you went to the Sallyport on February 1st of 2022, you were not shown a photograph by anybody of the wounds on the right arm of Mr. O'Keefe, were you?
No, I was not.
However, you've seen since then a photograph of the right arm of Mr. O'Keefe and the wounds on that right arm, correct?
Yes, I have.
With your Honor's permission, if I could publish Exhibit 1 in evidence.
Okay.
Thank you. Mr. Wolf. Ms. Hartnett, I'd ask you to take a look at that, and you recognize that what's depicted in that Exhibit 1, correct?
Yes, I do.
And You've seen that pattern of wounds on the right arm as depicted in a photograph of the decedent before, correct?
I've seen this photo before, yes.
You cannot state whether the wounds on the right arm as depicted in Exhibit 1 are from a motor vehicle, can you?
That would be on the scope of my expertise. I don't make any conclusions on injuries on a person.
So the answer is you cannot and do not make any conclusions with regard to the source of the wounds on the right arm as Mr. O'Keefe as depicted in that Exhibit 1, correct?
That's correct.
And you're also not able to state whether you observed anything on the vehicle.
Mr. Lessie, can we put the, are you done with this?
I'm not yet, okay. Your Honor, but I will let the court know. It'll be shortly. Thank you. And you cannot state that you observed anything on the SUV that would cause the wounds on the right arm of Mr. O'Keefe as depicted in Exhibit 1, correct?
That is not a type of analysis I would perform.
So the answer to that question is no, you cannot state that you observed anything on the vehicle that would cause those wounds to the right arm of Mr. O'Keefe?
Yes.
Sustained.
We can now take that down, Your Honor. Thank you. Did you look toward the top of the lift gate of the Lexus vehicle when you were at the Sallyport Kent Police Department on February 1st of 2022?
Are you referring to the exterior or the interior?
Exterior.
I don't recall specifically looking at that area. I did an overall examination of the vehicle, with exception to the actual roof of the vehicle. So I don't remember specifically looking at that area.
So as you sit here today, there is nothing notable with regard to that area of the vehicle, correct?
I had nothing in my notes regarding that area, no.
And as you sit here today, there's nothing you're recalling that is notable about the tap part above the, around the lift gate of the back of the SUV, correct?
That's correct.
Did anyone ask you to examine that area?
Not that area specifically, no.
Do you understand what I will refer to as the undercarriage of the vehicle?
Yes.
And what, just for the jury's better understanding, what are you referring to when you refer to the undercarriage of the vehicle? I know it may be common sense, but just to be clear.
What I understand the undercarriage to be, where if I was laying underneath the car, what I would be looking at, include the muffler, various pipes, but that's the extent of my knowledge of vehicles.
So if we're talking about the back of the vehicle, and if we go sort of top to bottom, top where we were talking about above the lift gate, going all the way down, and then go to the bumper, and then go under the bumper and where it curls under the bumper, then what's the bumper and underneath and more a little toward the front, is that what you're referring to as the undercarriage?
Yes, just the general area underneath the vehicle, extending from the under the bumper to the front of the vehicle.
Right, so the undercarriage is not merely from the back, but it's underneath all the way toward the front of the vehicle, correct?
Yes, that's
and you
correct.
Refer to all, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. So all that area you refer to as the undercarriage?
Yes.
Did you notice anything of note in the undercarriage, as you just described it, of the vehicle?
No, I did not.
And as regards sampling that you discussed on your direct examination, did you take any samples of that undercarriage area of the vehicle?
I did not collect anything from the undercarriage, no.
And is the reason you didn't collect anything because you didn't see anything of note that was worthy of collection?
In addition to that, I also performed some testing of that area.
And what testing of that area did you perform?
I performed screening tests on some of the lower lying areas of the undercarriage, on the tire flaps, the edge of the bumper, the muffler pipe.
And what were the results of that testing, that screening testing?
Those results were negative.
And negative for what?
It was a screening test for the possible presence of blood.
So on the entire undercarriage, from where we started in the very back, all the way underneath, all the way up to the front, the screening test came back negative for any blood or other biological material or anything else of note that would be part of that screening test.
So I did not perform a screening test on the entire undercarriage. I just performed the screening test on the lower lying areas, and those were all negative. And there was also no visible staining in that area, so that is correct.
What I'd like to do now is to talk about sort of overall what we just discussed. So you discussed certain damage to the vehicle. You had no way on February 1st, and you have no way today of knowing whether any or all of that damage was pre-existing before January 29th of 2022, correct?
That's correct.
So it's possible that all the damage that you've discussed could have existed before January 29th of 2022.
Yes, that's possible.
Are you aware of the odometer reading of the Lexus when it was in the Sallyport garage?
No, I'm not.
If we showed you a document in evidence that would have that on the mileage on the odometer, might that refresh your recollection as to what the mileage was?
That's not something I made a note of or even observed on the day that I was looking at the vehicle.
Okay, so you were there with Trooper Clark on February 1st, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Are you aware of whether Trooper Clark observed and took a picture of the odometer? Are you aware if that happened?
I'm not aware of that specific picture.
The mileage on the vehicle was of no interest to you in your inspection as a forensic scientist, too?
So my role as a forensic scientist, too, is to look for potential biological fluids and trace materials on an item. The mileage would not be something that I have ever made note of in any of my examinations of a vehicle.
So if you're, but you do analyze damage, correct?
I perform damage analysis on textiles and softer materials, not on vehicles.
But you performed the damage analysis on this vehicle, correct?
No, that's not correct.
So you observed damage on this vehicle, correct?
Yes.
But although you observed damage for your role, your position is that the mileage is of not of, of interest regarding your role. Have I got that correct?
Correct.
Thank you. Moving on to another category, you spoke on direct examination about solo cups and six solo cups, and there were depictions put on the screen. Do you recall that?
Yes, I do.
So On February 1st, in addition to taking some swabs from the vehicle, you also mentioned that you took swabs of, as I recall it, frozen red-brown stains located inside the red Solo cups?
Yes, that's correct.
Other than in this case, did you ever have to take swabs of red stained material from Solo cups that people usually use to for other purposes?
I've never performed a collection like that, no.
So this is the first time you ever performed a collection like that, correct?
I mean, the collection process itself is standard, the applying the sterile water to the swabs and putting it in a potential stain of interest. However, no, I've never collected a sample from a red Solo cup before.
Have you ever taken a sample from a red Solo cup since that, February 1st?
No, I've not.
How many swabs did you take with regard to the red Solo cups?
I took 2 swabs.
How did you choose which of the 6 Solo cups that you were going to take? And I understand you took 2, did you take 2 swabs?
2 swabs, but they were considered the same sample. They were taken from the same cup, same stain.
That was what I wanted to get at, mm-hmm. is you took 2 swabs, but they were from the same Solo cup.
That's correct.
Do you recall how you chose which Solo cup you were going to take the swab from?
I don't recall.
Could that be of significance, which one you chose and why?
In this particular case, I do not believe it was significant at the time.
Did you confer with anybody as to what might be the best Solo cup from which to take the swab?
I did receive information about where those Solo cups were collected from, which helped me in making that decision.
As a forensic scientist, too, you're aware that blood stains can contain, in these brown, red-brown stains here, could contain multiple contributors, correct?
In some instances, that is correct.
What's a multiple contributor?
A multiple contributor, I believe the term more used in the DNA unit. However, having many contributors to a particular stain just means there may be multiple sources of that biological material.
Do you know which red-brown stains that are contended to be found at the scene relate to which Solo cup in the bag that these Solo cups were in?
The information I had at the time were that these were collected from a same single stained area from beneath the victim.
But you don't have personal knowledge of that, correct?
No, that's correct. I was not present at the scene at 34 Verrieu.
If the swabs were taken from multiple stains, you would have no way of knowing whether the swabs were taken from the same stain, correct?
Can you rephrase that, please?
Sure. If the swabs were taken from multiple stains, you wouldn't know where the swabs in particular came from?
So are you speaking of the swabs that I took?
Yes.
So the swabs that I took, I know came from one of those 6 cups. And I was informed that those 6 cups of red-brown stains came from a single stained area underneath the victim.
That information you just spoke about, what is it put in any note that you read?
It was something that I had in my notes.
Did anybody else convey that information to you at the Sallyport?
I got that from an officer on scene at the Sallyport, but I do not recall which officer relayed that
to
me.
So it was verbal information you got from
that
person?
That is correct.
Did that person show you any note or chain of custody or other document to support his or her statement in that regard?
No, they did not.
Ultimately, once you did take those swabs from a single Solo cup, what did you do with the rest of the evidence in the cup?
That evidence was left with the Canton PD.
So you left the rest of the brown stained blood evidence from the solo cups with the Canton PD. You didn't take it back with you to the to your officer lab?
Correct.
DNA testing was not done on those swabs, was it?
I don't believe it was, no. No testing was done on those swabs.
So as we all sit here today, there has been no confirmation of whose blood those swabs relate to, correct?
At this time, those were not tested for blood at all, so I couldn't confirm that they were blood, and no additional testing was done. That is correct.
So therefore, we don't know any person or persons they might relate to?
That is correct.
And thus, we don't know if there were multiple contributors to those stains.
Objection.
Oh. Sustained.
You testified that the remainder of the contents of the solo cup that you took swabbed from, as well as the other five solo cups, were retained at the Canton Police Department, as you know, before you left. And that investigation, as you said at the time, was being headed up by former Trooper Proctor, correct?
That is correct.
Michael Proctor was at the Canton Police Department Sallyport location at the time you were performing your work on February 1st, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Did Michael Proctor take control of those solo cups?
I do not know who took control of the solo cups. I know that I turned them over to a Canton police officer. I handed them to a Canton police officer.
Might Michael Proctor have taken control of those solo cups?
To my knowledge, it was a Canton police officer at that time. I don't know what happened to them after they were turned over to the Canton PD.
Why is it that you believe a Canton police officer had control over those cups rather than former Trooper Proctor?
Just from my actual memory, I remember turning them over. They had collected the frozen red brown stains in the cups, so it was technically their evidence. I took the sample I needed from them, so I just returned it to the officer who had presented them to me.
So therefore, after you presented them, you don't know who took control of those cups. Is that a fair conclusion?
Yes, that's correct. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
That's okay. My question probably wasn't all that clear. Ultimately, during your work and inspection of the vehicle, the SUV, the right rear taillight housing was removed, as you testified to on direct examination, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
And you testified that a Canton police officer sort of helped you with the last stage of the removal of that taillight?
Yes, that's correct.
Do you know whether that officer was wearing, do you have a distinct recollection that that officer was wearing any special protective gloves?
I only know because I have seen the videos recently that he was wearing gloves.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear your answer.
I only know that he was wearing gloves because I have recently seen the video. I do not have a firsthand memory of that.
You said you recently saw a video. When was that?
Monday.
And what was
maybe?
The
I'm sorry. Let me correct myself. What day is today? I saw it Thursday. Excuse me.
And what were the circumstances under which you were reviewing a video?
I had just recently found out there was video, and it's just something I wanted to see in case I was shown it on the stand so I knew what it consisted of. I hadn't seen it prior to last Thursday.
Did you testify to that on your direct and I missed it, or did it not come up? Reviewing a video.
I'm sorry, yes. I believe I was asked if I had seen the video, and yes, I had.
Okay, thank you. Now back to the taillight Mr. Woke, if we could have Exhibit 145 published.
Okay.
With your Honor's permission.
Yes.
Thank you. We have up on the screens, and I know you went through this on direct, so I'm going to shortcut it. This is the taillight at the lab that you were talking about on direct, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
And that's the taillight housing that you submitted to the lab that you had obtained from the Sallyport garage, right?
Yes, correct.
So just to cover quickly some basics, there was one swab taken that you mentioned on direct of that taillight?
Yes.
And you testified, if I remember correctly, on direct that you, well, it's better for you just, if you could with a pointer, is just show the areas you covered with that one swab.
So it's, I collected the swab from any of the, what would have been exposed areas of the taillight when the taillight was intact.
And if you could please, just give like a perimeter full, I know it's not a circle, but mm-hmm. whatever it is, just full perimeter so the jury can see the entire area that you swabbed.
Sure. It was this upper right hand red area, this portion down here, I believe it's red. And then there's also a portion of clear area in the front here that was swabbed. And that was all contained on a single swab.
Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. So I want to keep this up if I could, Your Honor, but we can have the lights back on if that's acceptable.
Sure.
Just, so thank you. In terms of the swabbing, you did not swab, therefore, any other area of that taillight, correct? Including the area to the left of where you just drew the circle, if you will, around, correct?
I would just say it's difficult from this picture to see if there is what would have been exposed when the tip. May I finish? I'm sorry, am I? I don't know specifically on the left from this picture if there's anything that would have been there prior to the damage. If there was an external area, it would have been included in my collection. So I just didn't include any of the internal components of the taillight. So if I'm missing a piece over there that would have been on the exterior, then I apologize. I just can't see it in the picture if it's there.
Let's just assume my discussion and my questions. You don't have to assume this. My questions are just with regard to the inside of the taillight, because you've very nicely governed and talked about the outside of the taillight as you described it, where you swabbed. Now I want to go to the areas that you didn't swab.
Okay.
Whatever you best can do to describe the areas of the taillight that you did not swab.
Okay.
And if you could use the laser pointer, if that helps you.
So I did not swab the internal areas of the taillight. So here where the light bulb would have been, or down here where it's gray.
And focusing on the more, what will, is it okay to call it the inside part of the taillight? Is that acceptable?
Okay.
So the inside of the taillight, to be clear, you didn't swab that area.
No, I did not.
In terms of where you did swab, given that you swabbed with one swab the entire area, you are not able to say precisely where any DNA might have come from?
Just that it would have been present, if there was DNA present on that swab, it would have come from the external exposed area of the taillight, should the taillight have been intact.
But again, on the inside, because you didn't swab the inside, you had no evidence of DNA on the inside of the taillight, correct?
Correct. I did not swab the inside.
With regard to the, what we'll call the outside, where you did swab, as opposed to the inside, where you didn't, You cannot define whether the DNA was to the upper right, to the outside of the taillight lens, or some other place in that area, correct?
No, I wouldn't be able to narrow down where on the external portion, external front. I mean, I didn't swab anything in the back that was attached to the vehicle. So anything in the external front, I would not be able to narrow down any further where, if any biological material was present, where it was recovered from, specifically on the external area.
You did not find any glass on the inside of the taillight, did you?
Are you referring to, like, loose pieces?
Any kind of glass at all.
I did not note anything unusual inside the taillight.
I'm speaking, thank you for that answer. I am speaking specifically about glass. You didn't find any glass on the inside of that taillight when you were at Sallyport for your entire inspection on February 1st, 2022, correct?
I'm just want to make sure that I understand your question. I didn't find anything that was not inherent to the taillight inside. I don't know what the taillight's made out of. So if there's a portion on the inside that's made out of glass, it may have been there. I didn't see anything that was out of place on the interior of the taillight.
Okay. So using your terms inherent, you mean by that something could have been on the inside of that taillight that was part of the taillight that could have been glass. But other than that, there's no what scientists call exogenous or outside glass or glass that doesn't belong as part of the taillight, correct?
I'm hesitant to answer that specific question. I don't perform glass analysis, so I just perform collection. So if there was something that apparently looked like glass that had been loose inside, if that's what you're referring to, I can answer that question. But I can't say specifically whether a material is glass.
I understand. My question is a basic one.
Okay.
Which is, you found no glass that would not be associated. Let me strike that. Did you ever observe in this taillight any glass as part of the taillight that's part of the taillight? Anything glass that you observe?
Again, I can't make the distinction on a material being glass, so I think the premise of the question I'm having difficulty answering.
Okay. So, last part of the questioning, you didn't make any note that said you found glass inside of that taillight, correct?
I wouldn't make a note that something is glass inside a taillight because I can't draw a conclusion to what a material is because that's just not part of the analysis I do.
And to wrap this part up and then we can move on from this item. You didn't find any DNA on the inside of that taillight.
My analysis would not include DNA analysis because that is a different unit, so I can't answer that question.
To your knowledge, as you sit here today, is there any information from anybody that says that there's any DNA in that taillight?
I have no information of that.
Thank you. So what I want to do now is, if we can take that down, Mr. Wolk, I want to move on to what is sometimes referred to as touch DNA. I know you're familiar with that concept, right, Ms. Hartnett?
Yes, that's correct.
And what is, for the jurors' understanding, what is touch DNA?
When skin comes into contact with an item, potentially skin cells can be left behind, which is commonly referred to as touch DNA, when in essence it's these skin cells from the person being transferred to another object or item.
So is this a fair example that if I walk by the podium and brush my hand against it like that, I could very well leave touch DNA on that podium for what I just did? Okay.
Sustained without more foundation from this witness.
Thank you, Your Honor. So, is it possible for me, as I'm sitting here talking, based upon your knowledge, to leave touch DNA on this podium?
Same.
Yeah, thank you, Your Honor. Are you familiar with the process by which a person can leave touch DNA on the surface?
Yes, I commonly defer to biological material because that is what my expertise is in. Skin cells can be transferred to an item, and skin cells can potentially provide DNA.
So do hands, palms of hands, produce skin cells?
Yes, they are made of skin cells,
and
correct.
If a hand is on, for example, a podium, can there be a transfer of skin cells to the podium?
Yes, there can be.
And therefore, can the hands on a podium that have skin cells transfer DNA?
Yes, again, I'm not a DNA expert, but generally that would be the source, would be skin cells. Could be, yes.
You also indicated that you collected apparent glass from the rear bumper of the Lexus, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
And when you use the term apparent glass, as I understand forensic science, because at the time you're not really sure what it is, right? So you use the word apparent glass and you can't take away the apparent until there's a confirmation that it is glass, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
And on your direct examination, you went through a discussion, so I'm going to shortcut it a little bit, about apparent glass that you located on the rear bumper of the vehicle, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Your Honor, with your permission, can we publish Exhibit 141, which is in evidence?
Yes.
Thank you. Mr. Wolf? Ms. Hartnett, I'm showing you what is Exhibit 141 in evidence. And I know you know this, and I know it's been discussed. Could you just give a brief summary of what is depicted in Exhibit 141?
This is a close-up of the right rear area of the bumper where I noted the pieces of apparent glass.
And you remember discussing this on your direct examination?
Yes.
Now, I just want to cover some basics with regard that weren't covered on the direct examination. You're a specially trained person, and that's how you get your Forensic Scientist 2 title, correct?
Yes, it means that I've gone through all the training within the lab.
And all that training and all of those procedures are important and necessary because the collection of evidence is important, correct?
That is one of the reasons, correct.
And if those protocols aren't followed, then that can lead to incorrect conclusions, correct?
Depending on what portion of the protocol isn't followed, but yes, it's possible.
Certainly, at a minimum, it increases the risk for an incorrect conclusion or observation, correct?
Again, it depends on what part of the protocol isn't followed, but it's possible.
So, I assume it's therefore important to you that the protocols are followed so that the best result and the best collection and therefore the best analysis occurs, correct?
I make every effort to follow the protocols.
Is the quantity of the material you observe and collect also relevant, perhaps not to you, but to other persons in the investigation?
Yes, it can be.
And therefore, it's important not only to get the height of material correct, but to get the quantity correct.
In some instances, yes.
And with regard to your work on this vehicle on February 1st, do you recall discussing the collection, the observations you made with regard to the rear bumper?
I'm sorry, can you ask that question again,
sure.
Please?
On direct examination, you talked about glass on the rear bumper, correct?
Yes, apparent glass.
You talked about what you observed, you talked about what you put a sticker on, you talked about what you collected, you talked about the transport of it, correct?
That is correct.
And you put it in your notes, and you talked about it on direct examination, I assume because it was an important part of the work that you did.
Yes, it was a piece of evidence that I collected, correct.
And therefore, it's important for you to have made correct observations and to make correct collection, correct?
Correct.
The with Your Honor's permission, if we could publish Exhibit 133. Okay. If I could have a moment with Mr. Wolk just to do this efficiently, okay. Your Honor. Thank you. Mr. With Your Honor's permission, if Mr. Wolk, you could zoom in on the stickers, right? So, Ms. Hartnett, on your direct examination, you stated that there were two stickers and that there were therefore glass associated with each sticker, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
So, two stickers and glass associated with each sticker, correct?
Yes, correct.
In fact, there's only one sticker, and the second sticker is merely a reflection of the first sticker, and therefore, you have doubled the stickers and you've doubled the amount of glass on the bumper. Can you see that? Can you determine that from the photo?
No. Can I see the other photo, please?
Yes.
Okay.
So if we could, Your Honor, with your permission, go to Exhibit 133.
Okay.
You asked to see this one. Can you now make a determination, having seen both of them, whether there is in fact just one sticker and therefore one volume of glass associated with it?
No, I cannot. You're saying this is a reflection?
I can't testify,
okay.
So I'm asking you. With Your Honor's permission, if we could go back to the other picture.
Okay.
And if you could zoom in. Do you see a reverse B in that picture?
I'm sorry, I didn't get that.
I'm sorry, a reverse B as in Bob?
No, could you zoom in on each of the stickers for me, please?
We'll do whatever you would like to do to answer the question, so.
Sure. Okay. And then if I could just see the other sticker, please.
Absolutely.
Yes, I believe that is a reverse B, correct.
And doesn't that mean that it's a mere reflection and that there's only one sticker that you put on, and therefore only one volume of glass associated with one sticker?
Can you say that question again? I can't hear you.
I'm sorry. I will stay by the microphone. Is this microphone picking up? So therefore, can you now conclude, because of the reflection and because of the reverse B, that there is only in actuality, and there was only in actuality, one sticker and one B, and therefore one volume of glass associated with this bumper.
I don't know specifically that it's a reflection. It's not unusual for me to use the same letter on a sticker if I'm going to collect the items of evidence together. So if I had written it, you know, on top or on the bottom of the scale on one of them and on the top of the scale on the other one, that is a possibility. It's difficult for me to tell by this picture. What I can tell you is that all the items of glass or apparent glass that are present on the bumper were collected together. So I can't say specifically by looking at this photo whether I just label two separate areas to make the photo show the pieces better, or if it is a reflection. I can't say.
So from what we just went through, you're not able to tell that that is a reflection and therefore a duplication, is that correct?
I'm
sustained.
Do you have any doubt whether there is a reflection on the photo that is on the screen at this moment? Do you have any doubt?
Oh, I would say it could be a possibility, yes.
Right. So you have doubt?
Sustained.
So you believe it's a possibility?
Yes, correct.
Is it more than a possibility?
Objection.
Sustained.
You would agree that it's important to have the accurate answer to that question, correct?
I think that, yes, obviously understanding and knowing exactly what I'm looking at is important, but it would not change what I would have collected and how I would have labeled it.
So with regard to what others might do and conclude from that, it could be important to them, correct?
Objection.
Let's go to we can go back to the none of these pieces of apparent glass were embedded in the bumper, correct?
No, they were resting on the bumper.
So by not being embedded and just resting on the bumper, you therefore did not make a notation that they were embedded in your notes. You just put that they were on the bumper, correct?
That's correct.
And sort of as we're elaborating here, you're elaborating, they were just, as you your words, they were just resting on the bumper.
Correct.
If we could, if I may confer with Mr. Wolk on the video.
Okay.
Thank you.
Do you need the lights on to do it?
10 seconds. Thank you for that opportunity, Your Honor. If we could go to Exhibit 124, okay. Mr. Wolk, and with Your Honor's permission, if we could publish it. Yeah. Ms. Hartnett, there had been various weather before February 1st in the area. Is that correct? You testified to that somewhat on direct examination?
Yes, that's correct.
And are you able to discern from what is on the screen now that there is some type of precipitation that is on the back window of the lift gate of the vehicle?
Yes.
And is that consistent with what you observed when you were in the Sallyport on February 1st?
I don't believe I observed the precipitation on the back of the vehicle by the time I arrived.
But does this refresh your recollection as to whether there was, in fact, that precipitation on the vehicle at that time?
Can you ask it differently so you need it clearer?
Yes. Do you recall when you were at the Sallyport on February 1st, any precipitation on the rear window of the liftgate of the SUV?
No, I do not recall.
And does this depiction refresh your recollection on that point?
I'll allow that. Does it?
No, I don't recall seeing any precipitation on the vehicle, and I don't know when that photo was taken, so that does not refresh my memory of that instance.
Is there a date of January 29th, 2022 on that photo? We can enlarge it if that would help. And again, this is in evidence. Do you see what is at the bottom of the photo?
I do.
Now, if we could play, with Your Honor's permission, this video. And if we could stop it at certain points, Mr. Wolk, that would be helpful. May we, Your Honor?
Okay.
Thank you. If you could wait, Mr. Wolk, until the sirens pass. Mr. Wolk, if you can go back just and wait until the sirens pass, please. Thank you, I think they've passed. If you could accelerate it just a little bit, Mr. Wolk, without overly accelerating all that's happening. And accelerate it a little bit more. And that's good. And if you could bring, yes, thank you. We could have the lights on and take that down, please. Can you describe what you just saw?
Whatever the white material was present on the back of the vehicle was falling off.
And where was it falling onto?
The ground.
And did it hit anything before the ground? For example, did it hit the bumper before it hit the ground?
I didn't take note of that.
That was on January 29th, 2022. You were at the Sally Port on February 1st, 2022, correct?
That's correct.
So, that occurs on January 29th. You come to the Sally Port on February 1st, yet there is glass on the bumper on February 1st that, as you have described it, is just perched on the bumper, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Do you know generally where Dighton, Massachusetts is?
Yes.
Do you know where, and you obviously know where Canton is?
Yes.
How far away would you say Dighton is from Canton?
Time-wise, maybe 30 to 45 minutes.
And therefore, roughly, if someone were to go the speed limit, around 30 minutes away?
Sure.
Not holding you to any exact time, just generally. Your notes indicate that the vehicle was recovered from Dighton, the one we've been talking about, the Lexus, and towed back to Canton and placed in the Sallyport garage at the Canton PD before you started your examination, correct?
That's correct.
And you were made aware before your inspection or examination on February 1st of 2022 that the alleged incident in this case took place in Canton, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
So you knew you were looking at this vehicle when you were looking at this vehicle and doing your examination, that the vehicle, by definition, as to what we had just covered, went from Canton to Dighton and then towed back from Dighton back to Canton, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
So it ends up back in Canton after that journey, correct?
Yes, that's where I examined it, correct.
So, as I understand your notes, the glass pieces that were just perched on the bumper would have traveled about 60 miles before you saw them?
Is that what you're saying?
No.
Well, when do you believe the glass appeared on the bumper, if you know?
I don't know when the apparent glass appeared on the bumper.
So you believe it's possible that the apparent glass appeared on the bumper after January 29, 2022?
Yes.
Sustained.
Do you know the weather conditions that were in the area? We talked about it earlier, you talked about it on direct, in the general time of January 29th of 2022?
Yes, I do.
Do you know when the vehicle took its journey that we talked about, Canton, Dighton, back to Canton? Do you know what day that occurred?
No, I do not.
Let's assume it was on January 29th, okay?
Yes, okay.
For purposes of my questioning, do you know what the weather was, including wind speed, on January 29th?
No, I do not. I know general weather conditions, sorry.
You knew generally, but not specifically, correct?
Correct.
Your Honor, with the court's permission, I'd like to publish Exhibit 60 in evidence.
Okay.
And if you could go through to the top, Mr. Woke, of the title first. If you could go before that to the very, very top title in the center. So Ms. Hartnett can see what the, okay. And then if you could now go down to the part of the document that would show the date and then go from left to right for Ms. Hartnett, please, and the jury. And show which column go up above what the 29 relates to. And if you now then can proceed to the yellow line and go over to and hit the relevant categories. Thank you. So we have a 15.7. If you could now go up vertically as to what that number relates to. And can you highlight what it relates to? And if you could now go down to the, and go up above one, just above the average, is to yellow highlight what's above the column up above average speed. Yes, okay, and if you now can go down to the respective columns at the bottom for January 29th. Do you see those two numbers, Ms. Hartnett?
Yes.
Does that refresh your recollection at all about the average wind speed and gusts of wind that were occurring on January 29th of 2022?
I have no firsthand knowledge of what the wind speed specifically was in those dates.
So if we could go back to Mr. Woke, the exhibit with regard to glass on the bumper of the vehicle that... So this is your, these are your observations on February 1st. And we've talked about the journey that the vehicle went on. We talked just, you talked generally about the weather.
It's close. So, try and ask a question without too much.
I understand, understood, Your Honor. Thank you. In your experience as a forensic scientist too, is it possible for glass that is perched on a bumper to travel 60 miles and be subject to average wind speeds of 15.7 and still remain on the bumper?
Objection.
So it's sustained without a proper foundation.
Understood. Have you ever had experience with analyzing glass on any surface, an outdoor surface, and correlating that glass to weather conditions to make a determination as to the likelihood that glass could be or not be in a certain place on a certain date and time? Have you ever done that?
No.
Based upon what you know about this case, just based upon what you know, and from your role as a forensic scientist, too only, do you believe that information would be relevant to your role as a forensic scientist, too?
Sustained.
How did you recover the glass? What tool did you use to recover the glass on the bumper?
Tweezers.
How difficult or easy was it for you to take the glass off that bumper with, did you say tweezers?
Yes, that's correct.
How hard or easy was it for you to remove those pieces of glass with tweezers?
It was not difficult.
So it was easy?
Yes, correct.
You can take that down, Mr. Wolf. Thank you. Moving on to another category, Ms. Hartnett. You testified on direct examination that you located an apparent hair on the rear right quarter panel of the vehicle, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
And again, we say apparent hair for the reasons we've discussed. You didn't know at the time, so you use the word apparent, and you don't take away the apparent until testing confirms its hair, correct?
Correct.
So the apparent hair was not sitting on the horizontal bumper, but it was on a vertical portion of the panel. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
And that's the quarter panel, right?
Yes.
And that's a smooth surface, right?
Yes.
That hair wasn't secured to that panel, was it?
No.
It, in fact, wasn't secured in any way on that quarter panel, correct?
That's correct.
It wasn't taped?
No.
It wasn't glued? It wasn't stapled?
No.
It was not affixed in any way whatsoever?
No, it was not.
You found this apparent hair at the same time you found the glass pieces on the bumper, correct?
In the same general time, yes, that's correct.
When you say same general time, it was just one day you were there, correct?
Yes.
The range of time wasn't that broad, was it, correct?
No, it was not correct.
What was the range of time between finding one versus the other?
I don't know specifically. I was there for approximately 2 hours, so within that time period.
So within just 2 hours, you found the pieces of glass and the apparent hair, and within that time, you did your examination, you made your notes, all of that done within just 2 hours?
Yes, that's correct.
You remember the journey we talked about of the vehicle that you spoke about with regard to Canton, Dighton, Canton? You recall that?
Yes, I do.
So do you know whether, if you have any knowledge, whether that hair was part of that journey? Do you have any knowledge?
I do not.
Do you know when the hair was deposited on the vehicle?
No.
Was it easy or hard to take off the apparent hair from that quarter panel?
It was easy. Again, I picked it off with a pair of tweezers.
Didn't give you any resistance?
No.
With your honor's permission, I would like us to look at a depiction of the hair. May I, Your Honor?
What exhibit number?
It is, I believe we're going to start with 144B.
Okay.
And if you could zoom in, please, Mr. Wolt, for the jury and for Ms. Hartnett. Do you still have a laser pointer, Ms. Hartnett?
Yes, sir.
Could you kindly use that and draw a circle around the apparent hair?
Yes.
Thank you. I'm going to refer to that as a J shape. Is that a fair description of it, or do you have a better description of it?
I see two ends of the hair in an arch, so I'm going to say more of like a C shaped.
Okay, so you would refer to that as a C shape?
Correct.
And would that be a reverse C? Then if it's a C shape?
In that picture, it's difficult to tell if the ends are making contact or if they're coming off the vehicle. So I'm not sure.
Whatever way you would describe it, a letter or shape, because then what I'm going to do, just, it's not a trick here, but yeah. I'm just going to show you another picture of it, of that hair that might be in a different location or different shape. So I want to give a contrast. So whatever term you want to use that's fair to you.
So I think it looks like a C. I can't say, I don't, it could also be like a U. I'm not sure which way the ends are facing from this perspective.
Can you once again, just so we're clear and the jury's clear, just draw a circle around it again, what
sure.
you're talking about, and we won't give it a name,
okay.
right? We'll just do the contrast. Right.
Okay.
So if I were to just say there looks like there might be a little hook at the top and then there's a vertical line, is that a fair description?
Yes.
Okay, so can we go with that, a little hook at the top and then a straight or a line, that vertical line that comes down?
Sure.
And
yes.
that hook is orienting left, correct? Of the vertical line, it's to the left of the vertical line?
Yes, I do see it from this perspective to the left, that's
okay.
correct.
Okay, very good. And that's the apparent hair.
Yes.
And you only saw or found one apparent hair, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
All right. If we could, Mr. Wolk, now go to Exhibit 144A. And if you could zoom in on that for Ms. Hartnett and the jury's benefit. Could you draw a circle now around the apparent hair? Thank you. And isn't that apparent hair now oriented almost 180 degrees, the opposite, with the hook orienting right?
The photo's taken from a different angle, so Do you see the hook? Are you talking about the hook at the top? Looks now, it appears to be on the right, but I can't, you know, they're taken from different angles, sure.
How do you know they were taken from different angles? Did you take the picture?
No.
Are you speculating that it's taken from a different angle?
I mean, I'd have to see them side by side, but it's just the orientation of the, you know, my marking. Can you put them up side by side?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Would that be helpful to you answer your questions? Happy to do it.
Potentially, yes. Thank you.
Mr. Wolf. Maybe we zoom in, if possible, to each one, so we get it. Would that be helpful? We zoom and get a side by side of the zoom.
I mean, even from the overalls, I can tell that they're taken.
Let's start with the overall first, that you would like, and then we can move. Okay, is that where you wanted to start?
Yes, just by looking at those, to me, it looks like one is from slightly to the side of the vehicle, and one is more directly head-on.
Right, so one's slightly to the side, and the other's a little bit more head-on, but that's the only difference, correct? It's
yes.
Still the same from top to bottom. It's still the same from side to side. It's the same orientation, correct?
The vehicle didn't move, but the camera angle is different in both pictures. That's what I was saying in the other one. So the camera angle is different. When it's, you know, the one camera angle appears for the who's ever taken the photo to be standing off to the right of the vehicle. The second photo looks like it's more directly head on.
The 570 is oriented the same way in both pictures, correct? You see the 570?
Yes, yes.
On the left, and you see the 570 on the right, correct?
Yes, I do.
There's same orientation, right?
They're in the same location on the vehicle, but I don't think they're at the same orientation. I think one looks...
I want to make sure you finish, but if you could just... My questions are rather narrow.
Okay.
And then if you need more time to answer them, I'm happy to do that.
So let's just ask a question.
Yes, thank you, Ronnie. So isn't the 570 in each picture oriented the exact same way?
If you could just explain what you mean by oriented.
Sure.
I think that's where I'm confused.
They're the same. You can read the 570 horizontally. It's the same horizontal plane, correct? It's the same straight across, like one doesn't have the 570 upside down. You can read it from left to right, a 5, a 7, and a 0, correct?
Correct.
Thank you. Now if we can, Mr. Wolk, now zoom in and get the largest depiction of each one from a zoom in. Are you saying the difference in how that hair appears is from a different camera angle?
No, I'm not making that conclusion. I'm just saying I can't make any other conclusion because they are from different angles. I don't feel that I can compare the two.
Is it possible that the hair moved when someone took a photograph?
Yes.
Can you answer that question?
Again, I just can't make that conclusion because I didn't take the photo and the photos look like they're from different angles.
In your experience, you've taken samples many, many times of apparent hair, correct?
Have I taken samples
Yes.
such as that? Yes, that's correct.
Has it ever happened that when you're taking a sample, the photographer or someone breathes on it and the apparent hair moves? Does that ever happen?
Objection.
I'll allow that.
I've never had firsthand experience with that, so that if somebody breathes on an item of evidence, that would be something I would note.
Other than, and is it correct that you're speculating as to what could be causing this difference? Are you speculating?
Sustained. I'd like to see counsel at sidebar for a couple of minutes, please.
Mr. Wolf, Your Honor, with the court's permission.
Sure, you can put it back up on the screen.
Thank you.
Thank you for your patience, Ms. Hartnett. Do you have any explanation that you're certain of with regard to those two depictions?
Regarding what, sir? I'm sorry.
The two depictions that are up on the screen.
Do I have any explanation of what?
Of those two depictions that you're certain of.
Those are both a depiction of the same apparent hair that I collected from the vehicle.
Thank you.
All right, so turn on the lights, please.
Sure, as I'm told, with counsel, this is a good place to break. So we're going to break for today. Please, those same cautions, do not discuss this case with anyone. Do not do any independent research or investigation into the case. If you happen to see, hear, or read anything about the case, please disregard it and let us know. Please be very careful with your social media use. We'll see you tomorrow. Ms. Hartnett, we need you back tomorrow as well.
Okay, thank you.
So you can walk out at the end.
Yes. Please follow me. Please rise for the jury.
Yes, can I see counsel at sidebar while the jury's filing out, please?
There's more live courtroom coverage coming up. Press subscribe now so you don't miss a second from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it. And they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to lifelock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply. You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to lifelock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply. You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to lifelock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply. You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code iHeart or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply. You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code iHeart or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply. You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code iHeart or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply. You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code iHeart or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.